would old acquaintance be forgot?
Hello, Emma.
Ever brought to mind. There we are. Hello, Gertrude. How are you, dear?
Just fine. Put the old bird down here.
All right, there we are.
Okay, here it is, another New Year's Eve, and we're picking pin feathers out of our New Year's Day bird.
Yes, we've been doing that for 20 years, you know that?
There's a pin feather there.
Yes, this is the wildest night of the year for us. So I think we sit up till 10:30, 11 o'clock.
We devils.
Oh, we sure are. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Emma. You know something, Emma.
What, Gertrude?
This is the funniest looking bird that I've ever seen.
He does look kind of strange, doesn't he?
All these different colored feathers. Now, what is this?
I don't know. What do you think he is?
Wait a minute.
What?
This looks like the NBC color peacock.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
New Year's Eve, 1959. Live and parboiled from our studios in Washington, the National Broadcasting Company presents from now until next year, The Walker Scott Show. Starring Miss Janitor, Old Granddad, Stella Bear, The Lone Arranger, Captain Daybreak, Pop Star Night Watchman, Betty Crockett, Arthur Codfish, Randolph Food, Mr. Fix-It, Mixmaster and his Wearing Blender. Special skits written by Boris Pasternak, produced for NBC Radio by CBS Radio. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here they are, 1959's gift to the soaring 60s, Ed Walker and Willard Scott.
People in this
from now till next year, the Walker Scott. That's the Walker, the big fellow in the
That other guy over there is Willard Scott, and in the control room, surrounded by tape recorders and turntables, is
good old Arthur Page, our engineer. Arthur.
That's for me. It's on the air.
Today on the Farm is brought to you by Saracella Saracella. Now here's our first recording with Charles Saracella. You're supposed to have an announcer on duty to do some background in the...
This is Harry Legs broadcasting from Hotshot number 32 in Cheverly, Maryland. All right, you can tell the New Year's Eve party is in full swing. Hiya, honey. See you in a minute. I'll kiss you. Happy New Year. All right, there. Little hot in there. Steady. A little ice in there, will you?
Harry, would you... Harry? Harry, this is Scott back in the studio.
Hi, back in the studio. How are you?
What seems to be going on over there?
Well, they're just having a little game. Pin the tail on the donkey, and the guy that's the donkey doesn't want to be.
Who's this? Program director?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you better switch it back over here. I think we'll join you later on.
This is Harry Lang, switching you back to the studio. We'll return shortly.
Oh. Well, I'd like to have the Band-Aid concession over there.
Harry Legs reporting here from Hot Shop number 32, and it's a gala evening, believe me. Why, don't throw him in my direction, you see. And everybody is laughing and singing and dancing, and they're singing and dancing, and we only had girls dancing with each other. It's kind of an embarrassing thing. And it's odd. Happy New Year, honey. Yeah. Okay. This is all Harry Legs up here, and I want you to know, Willard, I may not get back till next Tuesday. We're having a ball, and I guess I better switch it back to you in the studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep tuned to this NBC station. We will switch you again in another hour at the same time to our NBC New Year's Eve party from Hot Shop number 32 in Cheverly. And the ladies and gentlemen, let's remind you again, this is a very important public service of WRC Radio on this very important evening, or morning as it is now. We have installed a new WRC welcome wagon. Yesterday afternoon, we went down to the Hertz people and rented the biggest open truck we could find, a beautiful big new Hertz truck. And what we're doing is, if you can't make it home from wherever you are, if for some reason you're slightly under the, you know what I mean,
weather, yeah,
things are tough all over, get a cab and come on up here to WRC Studios, and our welcome wagon will take you home. It's about now ready to leave for Arlington, Virginia, and let's call in Wagon Welcome, our WRC Welcome Wagon driver, out back.
All right, you bums, get in here now, will you? Haul into the wagon now, easy, step lively now. All right, go ahead, boys. Get in the wagon. All right, here we go.
Happy birthday, sorry.
Goes another load to Arlington, Virginia. The welcome wagon will be leaving for Bethesda at 1:30.
Don't come here, sir. Never said the very same. I just said the very same. Signores, presented. I'm from Cuba. Ole.
Here's a bulletin from the newsroom. Fidel Castro, he just did a shave. You know who he really is?
No.
Batista.
Wonderful tradition in New Year's Day festivities. It's a new tradition in the nation's capital. A wonderful rivalry exists between WPOT, the rut at the butt of your dial, 15,000 kilomegals, and WRC, the National Broadcasting Company's queen station for the nation's capital. And our Oklahoma engineer, George Washington Brewington, has his .22 rifle outside our NBC studios here at 4001 Nebraska. And he's... George, you're on the air, so... All right, George, wait a minute. Let me introduce you first. So, George is going to take his .22 rifle and shoot a light out of the WPOT tower, one of the Christmas lights out of the tower. So, George, if you're out there, stand by.
Happy New Year. Which light?
Shoot the third light from the second string antenna.
Stand by. Fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep tuned to this NBC station. In just about an hour from now, we will shoot another light out of the WPOT Christmas Tower, so keep your dial set. 21 minutes before 1 o'clock is the time. Time now for the adventures of the Lone Arranger.
Platinum! Away!
General Thrills, makers of Phoebe's, the greatest name in stretch socks, brings you another exciting episode of the Lone Ranger, the daring and resourceful Matt Rider of the Plains, who brought with him law, justice, and the American way of life.
The Lone Ranger and his faithful Indian companion, Fronto, are inside the Sheraton Hilton Hotel in Chicago. Apparently, they're financially embarrassed, and as our scene opens, we hear the Lone Ranger say to Tonto,
Tonto, I don't believe we've ever been in this tight a spot before.
Not right, fat man.
You want a tum, Tonto?
Me have bad stomach. Stomach on bum, Timosabe.
Yes, Tonto.
Bum stomach.
Tonto. You're stepping on my lines, Tonto.
You step on my stomach, fat man.
That's Masked Man. Tonto, I was just looking around. Possibly if we hurry, we could sneak down the fire escape.
We got plenty of trouble, fat man.
Yes, or maybe, Tonto, we could sneak through the adjoining door to the room next door and get away that way.
We find it difficult. After all years on reservation... Get in a situation like this.
Tonto, if only I'd thought I'd never allowed us to get in this situation.
Plenty of trouble, fat man.
You know, Tonto, we've been surrounded by Indians. We've been with the army on raids. We've had many experiences together, but this is probably the roughest spot we've ever been in.
Plenty of trouble, Masked Man. If I have that line once more, Masked Man, I'm going to get sick.
Tonto, if only I'd thought to renew my Diner's Club card, Tonto, this wouldn't have happened.
Meanwhile,
cashier's office, the Lone Ranger and his faithful Indian companion Pronto are halfway out the fire escape, and the manager of the hotel spies them.
Stop there. Come back here. I got you covered.
Now we get a good Batman.
I hope we do, because this has been a pretty bad script up to this point, Tonto.
Are you trying to get out of the hotel without paying your bill? Who are you?
Him, the Lone Ranger. New Tonto.
Me sick.
You know, Batman, what we need.
No, Tonto, what do we need other than a new writer?
You hit nail on the head, Batman.
Tonto,
Lone Ranger is a copywritten feature of General Thrills, also by Campbell Trimble, Mendel, Gilson. The Lone Ranger is played by Fred Fate. The announcer is Ray Swanwan. In review. Project 1960.
The Special Events Department of the Walker Scott Program bring you now Project 1960. Seated around our table are some of the well-known newsmen of our station. Now, here is your moderator for this special New Year's news broadcast, Mr. Morgan Beatty.
And the news tonight is transcribed and live. We're going to call in the whole wide world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Morgan Beatty Eyes speaking to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 1959 is all but history. The things that happened, the things that were done in 1959 are all done and cannot be undone. The big stories of this year. Nikita Khrushchev visits the United States. The president goes overseas and makes the biggest goodwill tour of any man living or dead. Vice President Nixon, presidential timber. What did he do in 1959? What are the stories behind it? The Russian shoots the moon with a rocket powered by something we know nothing about. And the steel strike that lasted for longer than a long time can be called on. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, 1 year ago this very night in Havana, Cuba, Fidel Castro, the Cuban revolutionary, marched upon the city and started the revolution that made Cuba what it is today. And for those stories, ladies and gentlemen, we're calling in our NBC far-flung correspondents who weren't flung quite far enough. Now, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, we're going to call in Dick Darkness, who is in London. Just a minute, let me get my money in the phone here. Thank heavens for the new DDD. I can call Dick direct. Dialing, that is. All right, let me call Dick Darkness coming in from London, England. We'll get him on the phone and find out some of the stories and his opinions on what happened in 1960. Hello, Dick. This is Moore in good old New York.
Hello, Morgan. This is Dick in London. Happy New Year.
A happy new year to you, too, Richard, my boy. First of all, now that we've talked to you, let's see if we can't call in our good friend Irving Arlefink in Moscow and find out what he's doing over there. MO3333. Here's the number I'll dial it. Gonna call in Irving Arlefink and get him in on the phone line here and find out the stories that were big in 1959 and just what they happened. There we go. Hello, Irving Arlefink. This is Mo Beatty in New York.
Irving Arlefink here in Moscow. Happy New Year, Mo.
And a happy new year to you too, Irv. Well, I see we got the private wires up, and I just got the signal. All we have to do now is pick up the phone, and we can get a hold of our good friend in Cairo, Egypt. We'll call in now our good friend, good old Cecil Bill in Cairo.
This is good old Cecil Bell in Cairo. Happy New Year, Mo and Dick and Irving. How are you, boys?
Mighty good to talk to you. Now, first of all, we've got all the fellas. Let's check the lines once again. Hello to Dick Darkness in London.
Hello, Morgan Beatty in New York.
Hello to Irving Isla Fink in Moscow.
Irving Isla Fink in Moscow.
Hello to Cecil Bill in Cairo.
Cecil Bill in Cairo, Egypt.
All right, now that you fellas are on this worldwide party line, so to speak, let's find out about the first question. What about the moon shoot for the Russians? What effects did it have? How about that, fellas?
How about that, fellas? I'm sorry, I didn't realize it.
Here, use the line here first.
No, that's all right. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, the Russian moon shoot, I think, had personally the...
Take it from me, Cecil Bell. Here in Cairo, the Russian moon
I think I have the line here.
You have a pretty good line. I've been hearing your show.
I have the line here. Just a second.
Yes, you do.
I think the moon shoot...
Well, now, personally, fellas, getting back to what Vice President Nixon did in 1959.
Take
for example, he went bowling every Monday night.
Fellas, I don't believe we quite got the picture the way it's supposed to be. You apparently are cutting in on each other on the line. Let's find out another question. Fidel Castro, 1 year ago this very day, started a revolution in Cuba that made the whole country change its shape, its outlook, and its predictions. Let's call in Dick Darkness in London.
Dick Darkness in London. Now, if you want my personal opinion about the happenings in Cuba last year, I was down there on occasions, and I want you to know they have some of the greatest night spots that I've ever been to. Now, don't blast this around the newsroom, fellas, but I've found that Havana is a wonderful spot, and the cigars are just too much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the story for the tonight, and we want to thank all our correspondents all overseas for giving us these wonderful analyses of the world situation. Well, good night to Dick Darkness in London.
Good night to Mo Beatty in New York.
And good night to Irving Isla Fink in Moscow.
Good night from Irving Isla Fink in Moscow. Happy New Year, Mo.
Thank you very much, Barry. Good night and a Happy New Year to you. And finally, of course, a wonderful Happy New Year's greetings to good old Cecil Bill and good old Cairo, Egypt. Good night, good old Cecil.
This is good old Cecil Bill and good old Cairo, Egypt, wishing a good old good night to good old Mo Beatty and good old New York from good old Cecil Bill and good old Cairo.
Thank you very much, fellas. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to each and every one. And good night, everybody. What do you know? I got the money back on the payphone. Call didn't cost me a nickel. They'll make me a vice president here at NBC. I may be another Edward R. Murrow. Good night, everybody.
The special events department of the Walker Scott Show has just brought you Project 1960. This has been a Wing Tao, Hu Li, Feng Yao, Bu Ya, Ri Bao production.
Shannon and Lux in the orchestra, and we'll build a bungalow big enough for two.
We'll build a bungalow big enough for two.
Hey, Joe, that's We'll Build a Bungalow, done for you by Bob Scobie and the Frisco Jazz Band here.
About that time, too, ladies and gentlemen. I just got the signal here. Pops, our night watchman, is coming up here. Pops, would you...
Yeah, he's supposed to climb up the tower.
Pops, would you tell our listeners? Oh, Pops, here, let me help
you. Too sure for the...
Hey, Pops, that a boy. Get up on your feet, fella.
Now, just let me get this straight, Jim. What all am I supposed to do?
Well, I think, first of all, we ought to let the folks know who you are. You are Pops, the night watchman here.
That's correct.
How long have you been working for NBC?
50 years.
How old are you, Pops?
93.
And he's got his kids, U.S. kids, sneakers on, and Pops...
There's a good tread on them, so I can climb up the tower.
How high is the tower, Pops?
450 feet.
And Pops, you're going to climb up the...
Cup over there.
Well, I'm getting a little shake there, fella. Help you. Look, tell us, first of all, now, what are you going to do when you get up the top of the tower?
Well, it'll probably fall off. I'm afraid of heights. I don't know.
Busy fingers. But you have your flashlight.
Oh, yes, I have my flashlight in.
What's that other thing in your pocket over there?
It's a little thing.
Oh, yeah.
A snake bite.
No snakes on the tower, I don't think.
You never know.
Well, Pops, you're going to climb up to the top of our 450-foot tower.
That's what they tell me.
And you've got your flashlight.
Yeah, I got my flask. A flashlight.
Flashlight. And in Morse code, you are going to...
Wish everybody a Happy New Year.
You've been working on this for 2 weeks now.
That's right. I went to school and learned the Morse code.
Yeah.
A little scary here.
Yeah, you are getting nervous.
Yeah.
Steady, big fella.
Yeah.
Hey, you and the last bit, fella. You come back later, all right?
Well, wish me luck, boy.
Okay, Pop, go on.
Here I...
Oh, Pop's here. Help him up again, fella. Point him in the direction of the tower.
There I go.
There he goes. Pop's our night watchman. 93 years old and climbing our tower. On radio. Mm-hmm. May bring back Weem. Who knows?
It's possible.
It's about 12 minutes after 1 o'clock here. Johnny Dark, are you ready over there?
Here's more music from the Scream Hall of Shame.
Art, are you giving us a signal?
Yes, I'm giving you the signal.
We ought to give you some speech lessons.
Well, it seems that the gentleman George Brewington is up on the tower.
All right.
Or he's ready to shoot out a light on the tower or something.
All right.
I wasn't here for rehearsal, so I don't know what's going on.
It wouldn't have done any good.
I thought I came in here with relief, you know.
No.
I think I need relief.
We're on relief. That's why we're here. Here's the bit, ladies and gentlemen.
Here in Virginia, there is an NBC.
Forget it, Dave Sarnoff, and just get over there and pop your button or whatever you're doing. Every year at this time, the wonderful tradition that has now become annual, is that a good word?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to get out of that one, but anyway, we each year shoot a light or two.
2 years, it's annual now.
It's annual. We say that because we may not be here next year. We shoot a light out of WPOT's tower. You know, they have that wonderful tower over there with
all the lights,
the manager
there
hanging by his thumb. And there he is. And we're trying to get him in the nose on this one. So, George Brewington, our WRC engineer with his 22, is standing out. So, George.
It's cold out of here. Can I come in?
Hang on there, George. Just another 3 hours and it'll all be over.
Your hand warmer.
Yes. Chambers is standing by, George. So they'll give you the 3 points.
I got my 22 and I won't fit to shoot the lights out of the tower.
Okay, George. Would you tell them exactly what you're doing?
I'm going to shoot the light out of the tower now. This is light number 473. Third one down from the left on the second string. Are you ready? Ready, aim, fire. Got him, dead center.
Ladies and gentlemen, another light has been shot out of the WPOT television tower, and we're pretty proud of the whole thing, aren't we?
Yes.
21 minutes.
I get you right here.
Yes, sir. That's where it got him, too.
In the blue mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine.
And now, Bums for Your Bum Tummy presents author Codfish Time. And now, here he is, author of the old bum, Codfish.
Golly, how are you today, Tony?
Hi, Alder. New sponsor today, Alder.
Golly, it's nice to have a new sponsor on the program. Bums for the tummy, right?
That's right, Alder. When your tummy's feeling bummy, try Bums, the little purple tablets in the polka dot container.
What do we have with these nice people today as far as the Bums is concerned? Is it special? Don't we have the two-roll pack and the full?
That's right, Alder. In fact, everybody in the audience received a two-roll container of Bums for just 29 cents, and then there's the four-rolled carton of Bums with a stomach pump added for just $2.49.
Golly, they think everything, New York. Madison Avenue snips, they think of everything.
Right, Alder.
When the tablets get down to four, that's the time to run next door and borrow some more. That's it.
That's close, Alder. You're supposed to buy some more, Alder.
Golly, day, it's nice. Beautiful day in New York, isn't it, Tony?
Hope you had a nice Easter, Alder.
Oh, it's really beautiful. Leo D'Orsi, Tommy's brother, and I was down.
Yeah.
And we were up in Leesburg, and we rode a couple of Shetland ponies over to Middleburg for the hunt club.
Were you out of gas in the car, Alder, or were you just sporting a bit and riding?
Sporting, looking for the foxes and laughing it up.
Tally-ho, Alder.
Tally-ho yourself, meatball. Tally, what did you get for the nice folks in the studio? Are the folks in the studio?
That's right, Alder. They're here, and inasmuch as the Lenten season is over now, we thought we'd have a nice spread for the folks today.
Well, what'd you bring the nice folks?
Well, Alder, we have two sides of beef from the National Beef Institute here, Alder. And over on the skewer, we have some shish kebab sent over from Bob Shishka's Shish Kebab Palace, Alder.
Oh, golly, this good shish kebab.
Certainly is, Alder.
I like shish kebab on the skewer. It's really tasty.
And, Alder, we have some pork chops from the Pork Chop Institute, Alder.
Oh, pork chops. I love pork chops.
One of the FOCOs. That's great, Alder.
Really good.
And, Alder, we have some ground beefsteak from the Ground Beefsteak Institute author.
Oh, boy. I haven't had any ground beefsteak since I was with Trujillo down in Dominican Republic. We really had a big
wonderful spread here, author. And,
really
of course,
nice
we have, for anyone who would care, cold cuts from the Cold Cut Institute, hot dogs from the Hot Dog Institute, scrapple from the Scrapple Institute.
Look, enough said about all the meat. Let's get the folks in the studio. You folks out there, help yourselves. Get them to eating, Tony.
Arthur, I just realized...
No, look, don't you sit there with your tongue in your mouth. Get the folks in the studio.
Well, Arthur, I just found out something. A note was just handed to me, Arthur, something that I was not aware of before.
What's the matter, Tony?
The people with us visiting in the studio, Arthur, are all vegetarians from Upper New York, Arthur.
What?
They wouldn't touch
what?
That
oh?
meat. They wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, Arthur.
Well, I'm going to touch you with a 10-foot microphone pole.
And Arthur, I...
Oh. Boy, you pay a guy a big salary and he brings a bunch of vegetarians in when it's National Meat Week. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail... Would you give me another slice of roast beef, please, Jeanette?
Yes, Father.
On the trail of the lonesome pine in the field.
They are marching off into the distance, the four Ames brothers and Bunny Lassie. This is the all-night free-for-all, Walker and Scott on WRC and WRC-FNM here at NBC in Washington, coming up to 1:30 in the a.m.
Promise her anything, but give her art pay.
I'm back from lunch, fellas, so shape up now.
Okay.
We got to do a show here, and I just had my... Those sandwiches, I,
Teach you to eat liverwurst at 2 in the
got
morning.
Got an Alka-Seltzer in the first aid kit here.
Morgan Beatty's got about 8,000 in his drawers upstairs,
yeah,
so...
I'll tell you that.
Take it easy. Arthur, it's 1:30 here at NBC in Washington.
Lots of luck.
Does that mean anything to you at all?
Except I'm tired, nothing else, I don't know.
Well, haven't you gotten the word about the welcome wagon?
Oh, yes, I understand. I'm supposed to switch to a remote here.
Eddie, you better tell them about the welcome wagon.
Well, we have a welcome wagon that's coming around every hour. For all of you people who have been to parties and feel that you can't get home on your own steam, if you come up here to NBC, we have rented a Hertz truck, an open-air truck, so that you can have plenty of ventilation.
Johnson & Swanson, greatest names in first aid kits, presents Mr. Fix-It, radio's original Mr. Fix-It.
Yeah.
Now, here he is to give you little tips on how to fix yours and yours. Here he is, Mr. Fix-It.
I know that, Scotty, babe. How are you?
Mr. Fix-It, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you this afternoon again. Yes, sir.
Boy, this is a beautiful table you have over here. This is a brand new pool table, huh?
You like that, huh?
Boy, it's pretty.
Now, that pool table is 15 years old, Scotty.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Sure was.
15 years old.
15 years old.
Solid construction.
Well, I had to do a lot of work on it.
But it's a woodwork there. You must have taken hours to repolish the wood.
I hand buffed it, everything, sanded it down, put some more varnish on there, buffed it off real fine, and then I bought all new felt. You know this felt here?
That felt is magnificent.
$800 for that.
800 smackers for the felt?
You should have seen the felt that was on there before. It was all ant-eaten and everything. It was, you know, just kind of beat up and no good anymore.
Chewed up, huh?
Yeah, it had had it, you know.
Well, that sure is a pretty pool table. You shoot pool?
Why, sure, that's what I fixed it up for, just to have a little rec room down here in the basement, you know?
Well, I don't want to say anything, but in high school, I was known as the old pool threat.
Oh, really?
That's right.
You're pretty good with a pool cue, huh?
Oh, I don't want
to.
Well,
let me just rack up these balls over here, Scotty, babe. We'll have a little game, all right?
Well, let's just make it interesting. What do you say, Clark?
Okay.
Just for my
answer. Come on, sir.
My dollar.
Racked up here.
All right.
Now then.
Who's going to break them?
You go ahead. It's your guest and everything.
I'm going to get my cue here. Let me put a little English on it. There we go.
Nice shot.
I broke them up nicely.
There we go. Let's see if I can do one here.
Here's your cue stick.
There we go. That's it. Right in there.
All right. Let me try one more here. Hey, I got one in there.
Good boy. Good boy.
Okay, I got one more shot now.
Yeah.
Boy, this is going to be... This is going to really be a tough shot here. Holy smoke, I got the eight ball in front of me, and I got one of yours over there on the side. I'm going to have to jump the eight ball, jump your ball, do a bank shot, and get it number six pocket.
You'll never do it.
Let me see. I'm going to have to... do you mind if I lean on the...
No, that's all right. It's a solid table. Don't worry about it.
I got to put the cue behind my back.
Yeah, well, take it easy. Don't strain yourself.
Oh, no, I won't scratch the table. Don't worry about a thing. All right, here we go.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
I'm sorry, Mr. Fix.
You just fixed my pool table, Buster.
Gee, the stick went right through the felt.
Yeah, $800 worth of felt gone, right like that.
I'll bet you really felt that one, didn't you?
I sure did.
Oh,
you got to get the bill in the morning, too, boy.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Really, what can I say? It's been a long time since high school, but I was the champion of it.
I don't say anything. Just put up your money and we'll call it quits, okay?
Here, you can have my buck.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Big spender, thanks. Yeah.
Let me sign you off. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
All right, some guys...
I'm really sorry.
Teach them how to use your pool table.
You just heard radio's original Fix-It Man, Mr. Fix-It, brought to you by Johnson's and Swanson's, the greatest name in first aid kit.
Try to do a thing
for a
guy.
Join Mr. Fix-It again next Friday when you'll hear him say... Gerson Keck speaking to you from the beautiful Club Steak, located just down around the round here, and we're going to have a little interview with some people that have unusual occupations and interesting sidelines, and we have with us across the table a gentleman who has just such a particular endeavor. You, sir. Hello there.
Good afternoon.
Your name, please?
My name is Saul Steele.
Mr. Saul?
Steele.
Saul Steele.
That is correct, yes.
And what business are you in, sir?
I'm a musician. I am the music director at the Embraceable U, which is a wonderful school nearby.
Oh, gee, that's a fine college of musical knowledge, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I have come up with the most unusual find in the music world.
And what would that be, sir?
I have a band of trained seals.
You mean seals that actually...
No, they're regular animals, you know, seals from the Arctic.
Oh, and they blow a horn, is that right?
Oh, they blow crazy, yes, they certainly do.
Well, where are the seals?
They're over in the corner. I'm getting them all tuned up for the big performance that we're going to do. This is our first act on radio.
I was going to ask you, it sounds like one of the unusual acts that you might see on the Ted Mack Show. Have you ever appeared on that program?
Unfortunately, that program went off the air a couple of weeks ago.
How about Ed Sullivan? Have you ever been on
it? Mr. Solomon couldn't use us.
Oh, that's certainly too bad. Well, I'm anxious and very...
Mr. Minogue, get the band ready.
Okay.
You have a fish, fellas. There you are.
Well, this is a fine-looking bunch of seals you have here.
Yeah, they play Dixieland. Very good, you see.
Well, I think we should listen to them if it's all right with you.
All right. Can I have the attention of the audience in the room here, please?
Certainly. I think we can get
the
their
people,
attention.
People, would you holding down? Thank you. On the downbeat, fellas. Are you ready? All right. One and two and three and four. That's the Herman seal. He's the big. Go, Herman, get it, boy. That's fine, fellas. Yeah.
Is this their big finish here?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, it certainly is different. I don't think I've heard anything like it before.
Well, you don't seem too pleased. What was the matter?
Well, gosh, they don't have any vocalists.
What do you mean you don't have... This is the most unusual act in show business. Seals playing Dixieland, and you complain because they don't have a vocalist.
Well, I mean, with most big bands, there's always a female.
Oh, come on,
Charlie.
What's the matter with you? You don't know good talent when
mamas,
you...
I mean, I'm sorry. No, nothing personal, fellas. Nothing at all. I mean, you, no vocalist. You got to have a vocalist. I mean, no, what is a band without a... Preston Loma Orchestra, the very exciting... time now is about 2 o'clock here, W.
25 on the top 40 there.
Very much there. It's exactly 2 o'clock here, WRC and WRC-FM, NBC in the nation's capital. Now, here's Ed Walker with a word on history.
It was Patrick Henry at the conclusion of his famous Liberty or Death speech who said,
"We haven't got a chance, the whole silly, drunken, pathetic lot of us."
That's all I ever meet. Creeps and jerks and goons and on top of that, the cheapskates, too, for the most part.
Right here, WRC, AM and FM, and we'll be here until 3 o'clock, and the phone is ringing. They're up out there, Jack. Jack Eichen would say.
We're broadcasting from the Shea Lousy in Chicago, Illinois, where we're interviewing folks around town.
He's a local disc jockey, isn't he?
Jack Lousy,
yeah.
Yes. He's a fine boy over WWE.
I think it's time, Eddie. We better be quiet.
Oh,
we're moving into the studio next door. All right. Okay, we'll switch to the next studio now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, as the last rays of the setting sun glide peacefully over our beautiful Potomac River, it's time once again for our poet, Ted Bologna, as we find him between the loose ends. Good afternoon, Ted.
Hi, Mr. Walker, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the poetry world.
Once again, I understand that you have for us some of your own poetic creations.
Poetry is the meat of life, and I am starving to death.
Would you give us a feast of your wealth of poetic food?
Certainly, I'd be delighted.
What is your first poem for this afternoon, Ted?
Mr. Walker, it's entitled The Caterpillar.
The Caterpillar?
Yes.
Very well.
I shall read the poem. A fuzzy worm with no attic nor cellar. That's my friend, the caterpillar. Crawling along on the streets or on the grass, in my book, you're still first class. You're at the work of nature's tomfoolery. I see you in your colors, all green and yellowy. You're always slow, you never rush. 'Tis a shame, old caterpillar, that someday you'll be a fuller brush.
That is the caterpillar.
That's the caterpillar.
I see. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was indeed a different approach.
What I is, think it was, yes.
Yes. What is your next offering?
It's called the... Am I a little loud? It's yes. called the Ode to a Garbage Man.
Ode to a Trash Collector.
Garbage Man, Trash Collector, Refuse Debris Collector.
That sounds better, yes.
Once a week in our neighborhood, there's a man who comes around and does so much good. White suit and his glove so mellow, he gathers up cans of paper and pads of Brillo. With a mighty heave and a hasty jerk, up on the truck and back down to earth. You may keep your Mr. Clean and your Singing Sam, but to all I still prefer my Garbage Man. Thank you.
Thank you. That was indeed a lovely and most touching poem.
I think it has a certain odeur.
It certainly does. Do you have any offerings before we continue?
This is my prize for the evening.
All right.
It's called simply The Faucet.
The Faucet.
The Faucet.
Mm-hmm.
The clock has struck 10 and the lights go out. The dog's in his bed and you're nursing your gout. You turn down the sheets and you crawl into bed. Take a look at your wife and wish you were dead. But soon as the lids fall over your eyes, you're glad you didn't go out and play poker with the guys. Then sleep at last. Sleep, sleep. But what is the sound that from the next room doth abound? Drip, 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 drip. The faucet is at it again. Drip, drip, until you think you'll flip, flip your mind, which is trying to sleep, sleep.
Yes.
So you call your wife. Creep, creep. Hey, creep. Think the drip and
Ted
the creep.
Drip.
I think it's dripping.
And his creepy poem.
Sleep.
Ted,
the night's divine. The faucet's dripping.
Ted,
will
fine.
Result in dripping faucets.
He's becoming emotional.
There.
Ted.
That's right.
Ted.
That's why we spawn.
Ted.
That's why the plan of spawn.
Ted.
That's why you get spawn.
Ted.
Come here. Come here.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish copies of today's poems, don't bother. A beautiful poem during the torch hours can be so wonderful. Too bad we didn't have a beautiful poem, isn't it?
General Frills, makers of Feehees, the greatest name in stretch socks, brings you another exciting episode of the Lone Ranger, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the flames, who brought with him law, justice, and the American way of life.
As our story opens, we find the masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, inside their teepee, apparently putting up their Christmas tree. We hear the Lone Ranger say,
Tonto, I'm sorry that we're so late putting up our Christmas tree, but we had to take care of those cattle rustlers.
Ah, that right, fat man.
That's masked man, Tonto.
Sorry, Kimosabe.
Kimosabe, would you hand me those Christmas tree ornaments, please?
Little angel tree, Kimosabe.
That's right, Tonto.
Good night to decorate tree. We're a little late, folks. Good night and good luck.
What kind of a tree is this?
That's awesome. Him. Tom. I need Tom. Him sycamore, masked man.
Yes, I'm sycamore than you know, Tonto. These scripts are getting worse.
We need new writer.
All right, Tonto, if I can just hold the ladder
call
steady.
Call MCA, get writer.
Oh, hold the ladder steady now, Tonto.
Steady, big fellow.
That's
hold
right.
Him, Scout.
Big fellow.
We should get horse out of teepee, Kimosabe.
It's a little crowded in here.
Tailwaggers Club get upset.
Now then, if you'll hand me that string of lights.
Okay, Kimosabe.
Okay. And Tonto, I guarantee you that within the next 2 hours, we'll have this tree decorated.
That's right, fat man.
That's masked man.
Meanwhile, underneath the dental floss, the masked rider of the plains and his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, are working vigorously for getting the tree decorated. As we join them now, we find the Lone Ranger just about 4 feet from the top of the tree.
Tonto, we've been working vigorously to get this tree decorated.
That's right, Batman.
That's masked man, Tonto.
Sorry, Kimo.
All I have to do now, Sabi.
Sabi.
All I have to do now is put the star on the top of the tree. If you'll hand it up to me, please.
Plenty of trouble. Plenty of trouble.
Now then, Tonto, if you'll hold the ladder steady, I have to reach.
We got ladder, man.
I have to reach way up to the top.
You fall and break your option, Kimo Slobby.
Lone Ranger is a copywritten feature of General Thrills, also by Campbell Trimble, Mendel Gildersleeve. One of Lone Rangers played by Fred Faith. Announcer is Grace Quam Quam.
From the Aragon Ballroom in Santa Monica Beach, California, it's time for Lawrence Welk and his champagne music.
And now, Eggnog, the greatest name in eggnog mix for the holiday party season, brings you Author Codfish Time. And here he is, author, not much egg, but an awful lot of nog, Codfish.
Almost
blew me up there, author.
Tell you what a head I've got this morning. Let me tell you, we had one last week that was really a wing ding.
Wonderful weekend, Oliver.
Wonderful weekend, lost weekend, Tony. How are you?
Wonderful, Oliver.
Collie, Ned, it's nice to see all the fine fat folks this morning.
Through your headphones, Oliver.
Carmel's Quinn over there. Hello, Carmel.
Good morning, Mr. Quinn.
Hey, how are you, darling? Primo, you big laughing hyena. Collie, you big gopher, you're really laughing it up big. What's wrong with the engineers around this place?
That seems to be the trouble, Alder.
Can't get this lousy headset to work.
Maybe you just can't get your head to work, Alder.
Kelly, Egbert's Eggnog is sponsoring this quarter hour.
For the holiday mixing, Alder.
Accent on the nog when you do your mixing.
Right, Alder.
Kelly, that's good stuff. A lot of creamy, rich goo inside the nog. Really gooey.
Spelled G-O-O, author. Goo.
Goo, yeah. Well, it's eggnog, you know, G.
Yes, right.
Eggberts.
Right.
Have you brought some talent for the old blackhead here this morning?
Right, author. We have the wonderful quartet with us today, author. The Mutineers.
The Mutineers. Let's bring them on. Primo, you're supposed to do your bit. Tell you. The Mutineers. Hi, fellas.
Hi, Mr. Godfrey.
How are you? These boys, Arthur, were singing on the SS Mount Vernon last summer, and they
boiled. Boy, it went down.
Yeah.
Okay, Gully.
Swell.
Now, we're going to sing Your Eyes Have Told Me So, Mr. Codfish.
Fine, fine, fellas, fine.
All right.
Go to it, lads, go to it.
I saw your eyes, your wonderful eyes, with love, light, and tenderness.
Telling these things pretty good moment reminds me back in 1922 when I was working with a bunch of fellas in school. What's the name?
You're singing all of them.
I know the singing. The singing is really long. I know, but I don't need to bother the fellas. I can't help it. 1922 in Wolfen War, I was working for WBRS, a new station up on North Charles Street. Tell you, you know how it brings back memories from the center of waking up. I used to really enjoy listening to those fellas sing. Really wonderful, Becky. Hey, Tony.
Arthur, I told you the tenor was winking in our direction.
Where did the fellas go?
Well, they got perturbed because you were talking during their song, Arthur, so they left.
Bunch of snips.
Going over to the Breakfast Club.
Trying to give them a good job on the show. I was just reminiscing a little bit. I don't understand it. Oh, well, I got my uke. I'll punk up one well, you tell me about Egbert's egg.
Arthur, if you play that uke, I'm leaving too, Arthur.
Come on back, you coward. What are you?
The last rays of sun slip slowly over the hill. It's time once again to pause in our workaday activities and listen to restful words as we bring you Goon River Anthology. Here's our poet preparing his poems for this evening, Mr. Randolph Goon.
Yes, good evening. Hello, Mr. Announcer.
Are you ready with our first poem?
Undecidedly so, yes.
What is the title of the first poem?
The first poem is entitled, The River Runs.
The River Runs.
That's it, yes.
Randy Goon.
A drop of water falls down from the sky. It hits a tree and then my eye, from which it rolls down my leg into a gully and past my girl Peg. From the gully all deep and full of leaves, it pushes on past the robin's knees. And then the gully joins that little sneak. I goofed the line here. And then the gully, that little sneak, it joined a tributary called Rock Creek. On and on the creek it flows, past persimmon tree and river road. On and on it flows, gluck gluck, until it reaches that old Potomac, muck muck. On past Georgetown and houses, shops, and chimneys. On past cameras, TV directors, and Stuart Finley. That little drop is no longer in view, but only a part of the All Potomac. To you. Thank you.
That was our first poem, The River Run. Do you have another offering for the people?
I do, yes.
What is the title?
Call a telephone.
It's called The Telephone.
Oh, little instrument on the stand, I think that you are oh so grand. Perhaps you're hanging up there upon the wall, or in the bedroom, or even out in the hall. You have a simple sort of curious way of always ringing in a most ungentlemanly-like way. I'm in the shower, all soapy and wet, and then you ring, and that is that. I go to sleep at night real early, and then you ring, and I feel surly. I'm late for work and my wife is mad. You ring your ringer and it makes me sad. Oh, little telephone, of all the things I ask of you, please, just once, leave me alone. That's it.
Thank you. I think we have time for one more poem.
I hope so. I've written one more, yes.
What is your final poem?
The New Pair of Shoes.
The New Pair of Shoes.
Yes.
By Randolph Goon.
Most will say that I'm a good fellow all the way. I work at my job and pay my union dues. So why, I ask you, should I be forced to wear a new pair of shoes? My sweet little feet are so happy, so long in the old ones I bought at Kinney on the Highway for a song. And then once a year, some creep of a friend comes along and buys me some new ones, too small and all wrong. My toes are all forced dangling into those mean little pads, and my heels become calloused and hurt so. Oh, Gad, I hope someday in that life hereafter that they either leave me alone with my old shoes or have plenty of corn plasters. Thank you.
You've just heard Moon River Anthology with Randolph Goon. If you'd like copies of this evening's poem, don't write, because Mr. Goon has not yet learned to write the poems down on paper. And so until tomorrow, we bid you a fond farewell.
We will see.
And now, Pickwick Picks, the greatest name in candy-flavored toothpicks, bring you Arthur Codfish and all the little codfishes. Yes, Pickwick Toothpicks, the greatest name in picks, now in wonderful, delicious flavors, spearmint, peppermint, wintergreen, clove, and pizza. And now, here he is, Arthur, the old bicuspid codfish. Arthur, you're a little offbeat there, Arthur. Arthur.
I'll put the thing down here. Golly, it's a brisk day. Old Pucker Lips himself, I was whistling there for so long, I wasn't sure you were going to finish, Rolling Tongue.
I was doing a brief introductory commercial for our new sponsor, Arthur.
Golly, Ned, it's wonderful. Pickwick toothpicks with the flavors you want to choose yourself.
Right, Arthur.
Delicious right. Flavors.
That's right, Arthur.
Melt in your mouth, good right. Taste.
Arthur.
Yes, sir.
That's right, Arthur.
Kelly,
Arthur, I was just reminiscing about your early days in radio. Isn't it true, Arthur, that you worked in Baltimore?
Kelly, it's right, Tony. I started to work for a little Philly outfit out there on North Avenue called WFBR.
1928, Arthur.
I auditioned with my ukulele. I went up there. I was in the Navy, half in the bag,
Arthur?
Once in a while, but not that evening. We were halfway between North Avenue and North Charles Street. And I heard this fella, kind of a mealy-mouthed little fella on the air, morning man, call himself Tease or something. I didn't get it. He says, come on over and audition for $15. And you know us fellas, we weren't making a whole lot in the old Navy.
Right, Arthur.
When the ships were made of wood and the men were made of iron. Now it's the opposite.
Well, tell me, Arthur, did you, while you were working in Baltimore, ever play a theater over there known as the Hippodrome? Did you have an act at the hip?
I had something around the hip last Saturday at the Army-Navy game. Speaking of that Army-Navy game, that was a wonderful game.
It certainly was, Arthur. It was quite an upset, Arthur.
Really terrific.
It certainly was.
Holy Austin. I remember I was over at the 50-yard line.
Good tickets, Arthur.
Terrific, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom from Leo. Really terrific. And we were cheering them on. I was reminded to, I want to mention a few things. I've been wearing this new thermal unit underwear.
I've noticed something, Arthur. I was going to ask you about
smoking,
that.
Yeah.
Are they cozy and warm, Arthur?
Golly, they're wonderful. The thermal unit underwear, you know, creates its own heat. You have a couple of little batteries, you put them in your pocket.
Little and transistor in there, Arthur.
Transistors, and it stays warm. Golly, keeps you nice like milk toast. Quiet, Primo, just sit in.
I was wondering about that, Arthur. I, coming in from Long Island every morning, as I do, it's a trifle nippy out there, and I have been thinking of investing in something like that. I'd like to try on a pair if you have an extra.
Well, I got some over here. They got wonderful little traps in them to keep the heat.
Well, Arthur, I've been wearing the old Long Johns for years, and I have a trap in mine, trap door.
Trap on your mouth. Put on a pair of these thermal units underwear.
Let me just step behind the screen, Arthur. I'm sort of used to the old fashion.
They fit nice. Don't they fit snugly?
Nice. Oh, they're very comfortable, Arthur.
They're so warm. They're even warm before you plug them in.
I noticed that, Arthur. I haven't even attached the battery now. I noticed they're
in the two transistors.
Put them in my pocket here.
Not now just heated. You don't even see the wire. You don't see the transistor.
No, I don't, Arthur. I see. No, I just attached this fine wire to
put
the
little plug into the transistor.
All right, Arthur.
Arthur. Unplug yourself, meatball.
I think you got a short there.
I think I have a short in my shorts, Arthur.
In the blade, day, 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 day. So long, everybody. This is the old Blackhead. I'll see you again next week.
How do you get these things on, Arthur?
There's nothing in there now, but we hope by 1961 we'll be able to have it full. All right?
It'll jingle, jingle, jingle.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the adventures of Captain Daybreak.
Captain Daybreak!
Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink, brings you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak. Now, for tonight's exciting episode.
As we join Captain Daybreak, we find him with Choice, Jock, Ichabod, and the 5th Regiment from Fort Meade, all trying to get into the house. It's late in the evening, of course, and they've just returned from a New Year's Eve party. Captain Daybreak speaks to Choice.
Choice and Jock and Ichabod.
Howdy, Pops. Sorry. Trying to sneak in the house here.
4 o'clock in the morning, Chuck. We can't afford to make any noise.
Hey, Captain Daybreak, seems to me that you should be able to find the key there on the...
That's right, Captain Daybreak.
Golly, bump, Captain Daybreak.
Yes, would you please...
The 5th Regiment from Fort Meade is getting nervous in the truck out there. I wish you...
Find the keys, Chuck.
You know what, it seems to me that if we don't get in the house pretty soon, we're going to be freezing.
I'm cold out here, Captain Daybreak.
Golly, bumps, Captain Daybreak.
Will you be quiet?
I don't understand it. I'm a Boy Scout. I shouldn't be out here at 3 in the morning.
Rub 2 crickets together and start a fire, Chuck. Do something. I can't seem to find the right key.
Crickets are frozen. They join the amount of food plant out here. It's freezing.
Chuck, it's late and I'm tired.
Suffering sassafras, Tom. What are we going to do?
I keep telling you you're on the wrong show. You want
isn't this the Tom Mitch show?
No, this is the Captain Daybreak.
Suffering sassafras.
Who's I'm so cold out here.
Golly, Bumpsuckle, Jack. If you don't go in pretty soon, I'm going to leave.
I found the key,
Chuck.
I'm mean,
not union, you know. I don't have to stand here and freeze to death for nothing.
I found the
golly,
key.
Golly, Bumps. Golly, Goosebumps, Uncle Jack.
I found the key, Chuck.
You found the key, Chuck?
Yeah, I found the key, Chuck.
But it's a cheek, Chuck.
No, just open the door here.
Okay.
I'll walk carefully. Okay. I'm going to sneak up the stairs. Watch your step, Chuck.
Golly, Bumps, Uncle.
Chuck.
Jack or Chuck?
What?
Uncle, what's your name again?
Captain Daybreak.
Golly, Bumps, Captain Daybreak. I just remembered something.
What?
I left a 12-year-old Girl Scout back at the dance hall. I got to get out of here right now. Holy mackerel, Kingfish.
Now, boys and girls, this is Captain Daybreak with our secret decoder message. XK-150, U-235, R-14, Z-426, X-263. And that means, boys and girls, if you've got it translated by now, Happy New Year from NBC.
Circle Team, the greatest name in pizza-flavored orange drink, has brought you another exciting episode of Captain Daybreak.
Captain Daybreak!
Golly, boys and girls, that was a thrilling episode, wasn't it? Huh? The time is 28 minutes after 3 a.m. in the morning on the Free For All show. This is Ed Walker.
Willard Scott here and Arthur. Arthur? Arthur.
Gina.
No, not Gina.
Arthur,
wake up.
Arthur, wake up.
Come back to Terra Firma. Mm-hmm. We got
to see. I don't
forget
know.
It.
What movie was she?
Once again, in the torchy hours of morning, when those of you are dreaming your deepest dreams, we present once more with tender words of love. From the Goon River Anthology, here is Randolph Goon.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's indeed a pleasure to be here with you this evening again. Cha-cha-cha. Yes, you may introduce me if you'd like.
Would you now read us your first poem?
You're straining a little bit there to get me facey sound,
but reaching for low C.
My first poem for the evening, Mr. Announcer, is called Chicken Neck.
They do.
Once in a while, with roosters, if the season is right. All right, the first poem, Chicken Neck.
Yes.
I shall read it. Each Sunday afternoon in our house, the kids were raising the dickens. Along about 2:30, we all sit down to a steaming platter of old fried chicken. With pickles and hot bread and vegetables and lots of mashed potatoes.
And did you wipe off the microphone?
Excuse me. And gravy and goo. All the things that are good for you, and always some stewed tomatoes. The food is good, and I love my folks. But what the heck? I ask you, please, pray tell, why do I always get that awful chicken neck? Bones, bones, nothing but bones, and a chicken hair here and there. The meat that's on that old chicken neck wouldn't even fill a parakeet. So I ask you, what the heck? I slowly but surely become a wreck, and all because of that old chicken neck. Thank you.
That poem was done by request of our listeners in Beltsville.
The real turkey is what you've gotten for me.
What is your next poem?
Hiccups. It's called.
Hiccups, it's called.
Hiccups. No, just Hiccups.
Oh, I said
the
Hiccups.
Called.
You just added the it's called.
Hiccups.
Hiccups.
Randy Goon.
Randy Goon.
No matter whether you're a baby tiger, a human being, or a little pup, regardless of who you are or where you are, you simply deplore the old hiccups. You go to a party in your finest suit. And you try to act your very best. And then you take that first old sip and hiccup all over your vest. You're with some high-class people and your boss is about to make an address. Then you eat a peanut and you do it again. Hiccup, hiccup, hiccup. Oh, if this dear old world there is to ever any justice be, I hope the government will someday make free either a Bifidol or Alka-Seltzer free. It's free to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Got another one.
Oh, I
want to hear it.
Not particularly, but...
Very good. The Wart. It's called...
Thank you. Here is Wart. The Wart.
I have a face of an Adonis and a physique of a Greek, I am told. But on the very tippity end of my handsome old nose is a wart that is now quite old. Sometimes in the summer when I'm boozing and the weather is hot and damp, the perspiration starts rolling down my nose like it would on a ramp. But alas and alack...
Here's another towel for me.
But alas and alack, it always runs back. Stops quite nicely, but the wart on the end of my nose. My courage is stout and my face is clear. And I'm hoping and hoping that this new year might see it fall off. The wart, not the nose, and quite frankly disappear. However, I fear it will be around for at least one more year. Oh, dear. Thank you.
That was Randy Wartnose, a Randy Goon, and our Moon River anthology. Good night and sleep well.
You guys seen the new Mad magazine this month?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it up. Get those hubcaps, kids. We know what you're here for.
They have Mad magazine on reserve in the library at college, I understand now. It's required reading for freshman English.
The last page of this Mad magazine is the picture of Nikita Khrushchev. Did you see that where he's got his Cossack color to take off on Eastman Kodak color there, and he's taking his pictures and makes him out, and he's got a big wart on his nose. And
who was it said they thought he looked like a fat Mr. Clean? Who was it?
Mr. Clean, I think.
Fatty Gavin.
Oh, oh, Danny said it. I might have.
Still looking for recording time. I'm here trying to con the night watchman out of his tower job. What are we? Oh, is this
the woman in the gloaming?
Roman and McGloman, man, you know, nobody there but your belly.
Oh, boy. Leonard Scott with the public service feature of the morning.
All you kids who are still out tonight, to hide those hubcaps. The fences are all closed today. Thank you. That's the New Year's Day announcement.
Golly bumps.
Uncle Jack. Here's some more news of the public service vein. And also from the varicose vein. Veterans of the Punic Wars will hold their annual conclave at Carthage on January 6th. The principal speaker will be Polonius Maximus, who will give a talk entitled Phalanxes I Have Known. Members are requested to wear full-dress uniforms, steel shields, and war plumes. Here's another announcement from the WRC Bulletin Board. Members of the Alpine Climbing Club will meet in the San Jose Mountains this year. The main speaker will be Norbert Framingham, who will speak on glaciers, the silly old things. Members are requested to refrain from throwing each other off the mountaintop. Folks in the valley have been complaining.
That should be real cool.
One crazy other one here. The Swamp Water and Mudflat Skin Divers Club will meet next Thursday at Bell Buoy number 43 in the Potomac, and lunch will be served at the bottom. Thank you very much. Little hands for those announcements.
There we are.
Very good, Jared. All right. Now it's time to
remind you that you're on the Janitor Beacon.
Take one.
Or two.
No, not two. You don't grab.
I think you'll find very interesting. So, Willard, she's all yours.
Thank you very much, Willie. And we're talking now.
Yes, this is a sonnet.
A sonnet.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
This is in honor of tonight's program.
Okay.
'Twas the night of the new year, and all through the lot, no creatures were stirring except Walker and Scott. They did everything they could to fill the air, knowing soon men in white coats would be there. All for the glory of old NBC. They worked on and on, way past three. They knew that wind-up time was at 5:30, and what did they get? They just got dirty. But to Codfish and Meatball, Walker, Scott, and all, a hearty well done, and to all, a good night.
Hey, Lieutenant, that was great. That was really...
Welcome once again to the Land of Enchantment. Many strange things have come to us from the Middle East and the Near East, and some strange things have come to us from Northeast. The switchboard operator at the building, for instance, she's from Northeast. But we have with us in the studio today a gentleman who is very famous the world over. Perhaps you've never heard his name, but you have heard of his product and his invention and his discovery. You may kill the music if you'd like to right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Honorable Mr. Floto Yo-Yo, who is the inventor of the yo-yo.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great pleasure to be with you on a program.
Well, lots of rock there, Floto.
Lots of rock, yes.
Would you tell us a little bit about how you first came in contact with the yo-yo? And
I first came in contact with yo-yo many years ago as a youngster, not having much money or trying to keep myself occupied. One day, while standing in woods with just a piece of string, I find two lychee nut shells. I tie them together with string in middle and form first crude yo-yo.
So the first crude yo-yo is made up of two lychee nut shells and a string.
I have that yo-yo right here in case you would
like. This is a collector's item, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first yo-yo invented by our Japanese friend, Mr. Floto Yo-Yo, who invented the yo-yo. When
named
was this?
Named after me, yes.
Named after you.
Well, that was many years ago, about 25 years ago.
Oh, I see, and this was the first yo-yo.
That is correct.
Would you demonstrate for our listeners how the yo-yo is best used?
First of all, the basic fundamental of yo-yoing,
yes,
is to hold the index finger through the loop in the string, and then you catch the yo-yo in the palm or heel of the hand as you let the yo-yo down, like so.
All right, see, all right.
Here we go. I caught it in my down, up, I caught it down, and up again. I catch it.
That's wonderful. How long have you yo-yoed without stopping?
I have been known on occasion to yo-yo without stopping for two full days. I am champion yo-yo yo-yoer in the whole yo-yoing world.
Did you win anything for this?
No, but it was an interesting challenge.
I see. Well, it certainly is very interesting talking with you. Do you have any?
I won the Davis Gold Yo-Yo in 1952.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Took it away from Australia.
They were yo-yo champions there.
That is correct, yes.
Well, would you tell us a little bit, do you have some specialty you do with this yo-yo?
Oh, yes.
What is it?
Yes. This is what you call the triple yo-yo yo-yo-yo.
Yo. And what is the yo-yo? What is the format?
This is where I hold the yo-yo as customarily held, and I let the string down. I flip the yo-yo over my left shoulder, pick it up over my right shoulder, down over my head, and around and again, and then I catch it with right hand.
Is this all in one sweep?
Oh, yes.
All right. Would you like to demonstrate it for us?
Oh, yes.
Should I move back?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'll move over here. Okay.
Give me lots of room.
Lots of rock, Charlie. All right. Go ahead. Yeah, help yourself. All right, here we go. Mr. Yo-Yo,
I think I broke the control room window.
Apparently one of your lychee nuts is a little loose there because it flew off the handle and broke the control room window.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been great pleasure to be with you on the program. Remember, for Yo-Yo, send 298 to Floto Yo-Yo.
Floto, forget it. Arthur?
Yeah?
Take that yo-yo out of your mouth. You look ridiculous in there. George is finally coming out of the cold.
It's freezing.
George shot all the lights. That's over the TOT tower.
I'm shot.
Well, you are half shot anyway.
Boys, I hope I will excess tonight up on the tower.
Pop is our night watchman, and he's been here with us since 11:05.
I want you to know this is the latest I've been up in 35 years.
Pop's 93-year-old night watchman.
It's been a wonderful experience being with you boys.